Advent and worship. You know, we're a week away from the Advent season. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And the theme for that Sunday is the theme of peace. You know, for some of us, this year, the year's gone pretty quickly. The past months have been filled with many ups and downs. We've all had our trials. We've had some tough times. We've seen the world just crumble in chaos all around us. We've had some times of relief and times of joy. You know, it's very easy to be distracted by our daily challenges, that we lose sight of what we are to focus on. We become anxious and we worry and we get stressed. In fact, stress and anxiety seems to be a trend in the world these days. You even see it in the media, and you see all kinds of articles now on how to handle stress and what's the prescription for anxiety. People have forgotten that if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, it solves a lot of those problems very quickly. But we're also a month away from that time where we decorate trees and we have family meals and parties, lots of baking. I love the baking part. Shopping. We have our the Hallmark holiday movies come back. We can get past those. But it's a time of excitement, and there's all kinds of fun things to do. It's an exciting time of the year. It's a very exciting time of the year. But unfortunately, it's one that creates a lot of distraction from the truth. We lose focus. It's a time where we can be generous. We can give to charities. Hopefully after our service today, we'll be generous in our decisions. It's also, unfortunately, a time for some people where it's very depressing because they're all by themselves. It's a time of the year where they feel lonely and forgotten. So a question comes up: how should we really celebrate this time of the year? For Christians around the world, this is a very meaningful time, but yet society has allowed us to dilute it. The commercialism and the materialism has seeped in around us. And yes, some will go to church on a Sunday, maybe even a couple of other times, but they haven't understood or don't understand what has really happened and why this time of the year should be a time of hope and peace and joy and love. And that all came to us because we are preparing to celebrate not just the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas time, but also his second coming. That's what Advent is all about. You know, Advent, the history of Advent goes back to the year 480. When it first started, it was a season where people were prepared for baptism. It was also a very tough time. The people at that time, they thought those 40 days of Advent, or actually a little less, were a time of fasting. They'd fast 3 days a week. Fortunately, in the mid-century or Middle Ages, the Advent season changed and it became a focus on Jesus Christ and his birth and the foretelling of his future coming. You know, Advent can be an exciting time of the year. You know, lights still begin to decorate the skyline. I don't know how many of you have started to decorate yet, but we got a few lights up this last week. It's fun. And there's so much meaning behind it, right? You'd see the lights bringing light into darkness. There's a little bit overkill in some areas where I think my wife said she saw a house the other day where the whole house, literally everything, even the telephone wires or the wires holding up the phone pole in front, everything was covered in lights. Okay, that's a little excessive. They've missed the message, but they got the lights, all right? But the point is, it's a season where, you know, we can hear the familiar carols on the radio. But it's so easy to be distracted by all this that's happening around us. Distracted by what I call the dancing and prancing. Lose sight of the purpose and meaning of the Advent season. It's during Advent that we are reminded of the duality of waiting. Remembering the Hebrews who waited eagerly for the birth of their Messiah, but also waiting as we wait for the second coming of Christ. So starting next Sunday, for 4 weeks, we will observe and celebrate, and we will include as many people as possible in the Advent season. It'll help us to focus our minds and our hearts on the reason that Christians celebrate Christmas. We will have candle lighting. There will be 3 purple candles, a pink one and a white one. We'll explain all that when it happens. Okay. We will focus on hope and peace and joy and love. And then, of course, on Jesus Christ in all of that. And each day there will be provided scriptures that you can read about the season and what it means and the prophecies and who Christ is. Something that you can do each day, whether you do it individually or as a family, to help you prepare for that time. Advent is a time to prepare your hearts and minds for a meaningful Christmas and to focus on Christ. It's also a time where we should be serious about how we worship. In Psalm 29, verse 2, it says, "Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." That's why we come to church. But worship is not just coming to church once a week. Worship is something we do each and every day. I did not pick the songs that Tom picked for today about worship. Happens quite a lot these days that the music seems to mesh in with the message. We're to give glory to the Lord. That's why we come to church. You see, worship is about God. Worship is about the Lord. Worship is about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's for him that we worship. It says in 1 Chronicles 16:29, "Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor." When we come to a church, do we come thinking we need to come here to get our needs met? Do we come because, was that a good message or was that great music? Do we say sometimes to ourselves, "That church service just took too long. Can't wait to get out of it." Or, "I didn't get anything out of that message." Or, "Boy, oh boy, the singing was so boring and it took so long to get through. And so, oh, it was whatever." No. When we come to church, we come to worship. We're coming to give glory to God, not to man. Not for entertainment. We come for the truth, to focus and to praise. You know, how are we to worship? It says God in John 4:24, "God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." Worship is up to each and every one of us as individuals. We can't have anybody else do it for us. Tom is great and Anna is fantastic at singing and playing the music, but that's not there for your worship. You're to worship. I am to worship. Right? That's what worship is about. It's not something that we watch or listen to. It's something we do. It's an action. And what is it that we do to worship? It's our opportunity to praise God. It's how we respond to what Jesus Christ has done for us. It is when we realize that we don't go to church because we have to, or we come to church to be relieved of guilt, or we come to church to be fed. We go to church to worship God because of how great and how wonderful He is and what Christ did for us. To show our awe for His works, His creation, the love He has for His people, and to celebrate Christ. So Advent is that time over the next 4 or 5 weeks to increase our celebration for Christ at church and in our homes. It's a time we can worship the God for hope and joy, the God of love, the God of peace. It's to praise Him, it's to bow down, it's to kneel, it's to give our hearts and minds to the Lord, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day. You see, worship is really important to Christ. It's very important to God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach." Yeah, as we teach each other and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with what? We sing with gratitude in our hearts. We worship with gratitude. We are to worship from our heart, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to another, psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. You know, I'll be the first person to admit, first of all, I'm not a good singer. Secondly, I like music, but I don't like all music. I love some of the hymns. Some of the hymns really can really get you going and you feel to praise, and it's almost an emotional moment. And then there are other hymns, well, I don't know. But the whole point is that we are to make music from our heart to the Lord. We sing to the Lord. We sing to the Lord. Why do we worship Him? We worship Him because He is giving us a kingdom, an eternal life, a kingdom of peace and no suffering. Hebrews 12, therefore we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. We are to serve Him. Jesus answered in Luke 4, verse 8, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him." Serve Him only. In Philippians chapter 2, we worship God to acknowledge Jesus Christ. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above all names. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We are to worship to acknowledge Christ. It's an interesting scripture that came to me this week about how worship confirms and enhances our belief. It's in John chapter 6. Bear with me as we go through this very quickly. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." We are to believe in the one He has sent. So they asked Him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" And He answered, He says, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven." See, the bread that came down, the manna came down, didn't come from Moses, it came from God. He had to feed His people. He fed His people. And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It's by my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. The true bread. And now we're thinking, okay, what's it? Where's this got to do with Advent and everything else? For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread. Always give us this bread. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. See, Jesus Christ was born, and we will recognize and celebrate that. We'll celebrate with hope and peace and joy in life. But none of that was possible without the sacrifice of Christ, because he is the bread of life. And when we say that prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. That daily bread is Christ's presence in us. That daily bread is the life, so that we do not go hungry, that we're not spiritually hungry or thirsty, and that we will have eternal life. Bread is something we need each day. We need physical bread to live. We need Christ each day as our daily bread. So let this season remind us that our needs are being met, starting with the birth of our Savior. And out of his love, he is our life, our hope, our joy and peace. So let us this Advent season worship from our hearts and minds, worship with joy and gratitude. In Psalm 100, first four verses, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen.
Great God, Father in heaven, we thank you for giving your only begotten Son so that we can come before you and praise you and worship you, thanks to him being here and humbling himself and dying on the cross and being resurrected next to you now, so that we can praise you and worship you, that our hearts and minds can be focused on the true meaning of this time in the year. Let us not be distracted and caught up in the materialism and commercialism that is around us, but let us use this time to worship with our hearts and minds and to give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.